chapter of Isaiah tonight. We're nearly through with this book. And as we know, each of these books, or each of these chapters in Isaiah, since there's 66 of them, each one corresponds with one of the books of the Bible, which there are 66 books in the Bible. This book corresponds with a little book of Jude, this right before Revelation. There's a lot in this chapter, and we're not going to get down too far in it tonight. There's some precious truths. We will give you the outline of the chapter before we get into it. Verses 1 through 7 is the response of the Redeemer to the prayers of the remnant that they prayed in the 64th chapter. And God gives in this portion the reason for the rejection of the nation of Israel at this time. They're still in rejection as far as his son is concerned. They haven't accepted his son. So that's verses 1 through 7. And then verses 8 through 16 is the preservation of a remnant through which his promises will be fulfilled. We're going to see this in those verses. It's a precious, all of this is just wonderful. I love his word. Then verses 17 to 25 speaks of that which is coming, is the new creation concerning the heaven and the earth will all be made new. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Won't that be wonderful? Praise the Lord. So the 64th chapter tells us of the prayer of the believing remnant who were crying unto the Lord to that first verse says, I love that verse in 64:1. He says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Isn't that a wonderful verse? They're really going to cry unto the Lord for him to come. And then these last two chapters of Isaiah, 65 and 66, give us the response to the cries of this remnant. Now we know that Israel's history from their very beginning was and is a testimony of failure, of their witness as God's people on the earth. From the very beginning, when God called them, they failed over and over, as we read throughout the Old Testament. And we have all of this recorded for us because we live today at the end of all the ages. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 10:11. Up behind us, behind the pulpit, there's that chart of the dispensations. And this verse in 1 Corinthians 10:11 is a wonderful verse. It tells about Israel's, what they did, their history in this 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And then in this 11th verse, he says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. When I think of that verse, of everything that went on from the beginning of time, clear back here, when God first called this nation Israel, and everything that's written in this Old Testament was written for our admonition. God knew that we would need everything that's written in this word. And that's why Israel went through everything they went through, is because it was for us. That's a wonderful thing for me to understand this. It's wonderful that God allowed, you can just think back upon everything in that Old Testament, in the Old Testament that they went through. It was for us. It's wonderful, isn't it? He loved us so that he had them go through that. Well, let's read down through the 5th verse of this chapter. Isaiah 65, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me. Now the Lord's talking here through Isaiah. Behold me, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. He's talking about Israel, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh. and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. You ever heard that expression? Some saints feel they're holier than thou, than the next one. Then he says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. We are not going to get into all of this tonight, but there's so much here. In this first verse, Isaiah is speaking to Israel through the Lord is, but he's using Isaiah. And it's regarding we Gentiles. He says, a nation that was not called by my name. Now, in the 63rd chapter, in the 19th verse, they said, we are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them, that is, the adversaries of Israel. They were not called by thy name. Now, they boasted in this, that they were called by the name of the Lord. But now they rejected. So he says to them, I have found of them that sought me not. Behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Behold me, I like that. Or here am I is in the Hebrew. Paul quotes this in Romans, the 10th chapter. Let's turn over there. Of course, we know Paul knew this Old Testament, no doubt. He could quote it from memory. Romans 10, 21 and 22. And notice how the words here that Paul uses, it's like Isaiah knew that God was doing this, and yet he didn't understand it all, but yet God had him say it. In Romans 10, 20, but Isaiah is very bold and saith. See, the Jews despise the Gentiles. So God had Isaiah become very bold and saith, I have found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And this is what Israel was. They were and still are, their gainsaying and disobedient people. Isaiah dared to proclaim a greater thing. He didn't fully understand it, the calling in of the Gentiles. And Paul, being a Jew, and then sent to the Gentiles, this was the greatest thing. And God had did this through Paul. And of course, he became the minister to the Gentiles. And when he says, I am sought of them, notice that. And the Hebrew says, I have granted access unto me to them who once asked not for me. The Gentiles didn't ask. There were just individual Gentiles throughout the Old Testament who came to know the Lord. And Ruth being one of them, she was a Moabitess, and there were several. But they didn't, as a nation, ask for the Lord because Israel felt that the Gentiles were dogs, that we were dogs. And they didn't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. But now they have rejected, and they did hear in Isaiah, and the Lord tells them, I'm going to turn to the Gentiles. And he did in the first part of Acts. We know after the day of Pentecost, God gave the nation Israel. So there were 7 years there. The first 7 chapters, I believe it is, of the book of Acts. God gave Israel a chance to turn to him and accept his son. And when they finally, in the 7th chapter of Acts, when they finally stoned Stephen, that was the end. They rejected his son. And over in, let's go over to Acts, I believe it's the 13th chapter, is where he says that he turns to the Gentiles. These are marvelous truths, and they get really to the bottom of my heart. Praise the Lord. Acts 13:46 is what we want. I'm going to start with the 44th verse. Acts 13:44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, This is a violent thrust, a violent rejection, that they put it away from them. They didn't want to hear the word of the Lord. And he says, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And this is when the final time came here, especially in beginning with Acts 7, this marvelous book. When we taught this, it was just thrilled us to see how God led this man, Paul, and these blessed apostles. So they finally turned, God turned from the nation Israel, and since that time, he's been dealing with the Gentiles, and we, of course, are the Gentiles. God, the nation Israel, didn't want his grace. God had to manifest his grace to man, but human pride and lukewarm indifference and self-complacency stood in the way, and it still does among man. So he has to bypass all of that, and he has to manifest his grace. So if he can't do it to one nation or to one individual, he'll go to somebody where he can manifest his grace. He has to manifest his grace. I love that in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Praise the Lord. All right, in this second verse, he says, I have spread out my hands all the day. Can't you just see the Lord doing this? It's like he's spreading his hands out to embrace this nation Israel, but they didn't want his embrace. They were too proud. They had been given the oracles of God, and they felt they were too proud. And he did this continually over in Jeremiah 7:13. Now keep in mind who is doing this. And it's still Jesus Christ who is doing this. In some of the other versions, it's Adonai Jehovah or Jehovah Adonai. Adonai, of course, speaks of Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 7:13, he says, and now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Much there we could read, but we're not going to do it. Let's read another scripture here in Jeremiah. They were very rebellious people. In the 6th chapter and the 16th verse, this is what they did here. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now the reason they're in that condition today is because of this. They rejected his son. Over in 7:24 of Jeremiah, he says over here, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Isn't that sad? This nation that had all the opportunity to yield to the Lord, and yet that they wouldn't do it. They were rebellious, and they just walked the opposite of the way that God wanted them to walk. Well, man's still doing this today, and Israel's still doing this today. All right, in this third and fourth verse, we have three terrible indictments against Israel, and they answer to man's threefold being. We're body, and we're soul, and we're spirit. This first one in the third verse, a people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, and this is the first one, that sacrificed in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. Now you think, well, what do we have in this? Well, Israel became idolaters. When they were carried captive, they became idolaters. They began to sacrifice in gardens. They burned incense upon the altars of brick. They were occupied with their own religious self-works. Who else was interested in his self-works? The first one, first man that ever was a murderer. Remember? Cain. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. But what did Abel bring? Yes, he brought a sacrifice of blood. He brought an animal, and that spoke of Jesus Christ, and God accepted that. But Cain speaks of the self-works, something he had done. And God doesn't want things we have done. He wants something that he has done, and that he's given us his son. And this speaks of the spirit of man. This is the first one we have. That which comes from the ground is no blood sacrifice. If the ground in the first place has been cursed by God. Cain was very envious of Abel, and then he became the first murderer. And I've often thought about Adam and Eve. You know, we think about mothers today that things happen to their sons and their families broke up and so forth. And think of that first family. That happened there in that first family. And don't you think Eve's heart was broken? Yes, I know it was. All right, first, these altars, they made them of brick. Let's go back to Exodus. This is something they were not to do. Let's go to Exodus 20, 25. When brick is something that man make, they're altars, and we'll read these scriptures. Exodus 20, 25. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, this speaks of Jesus Christ, because he was the stone, wasn't he? He was that stumbling stone that many stumbled at. Thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. This speaks of any self-effort. And this is a wonderful thing that we learn. It's not by any works of righteousness which we have done, Titus 3:5. This is a thing, a truth the Lord really made precious to my heart when I went to Bible school, was that it's not by any works of righteousness which we can do, but it's by his mercy and his grace that he has saved us and he has washed us. It's all of him, and this is what man has to learn, and I thank the Lord. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 27. Praise the Lord. As usual, if you have comments or thoughts on this, why, just bring them in. Deuteronomy 27 and verses 5 and 6. Self-effort God does not accept. Deuteronomy 27, 5 and 6. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, or unhewn stones is the Hebrew. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. When did they make a tower? Remember Genesis 11? And they wanted that tower to reach to heaven. What did they do? What was it made of? Let's read that one in Genesis 11. This is what man, this is again speaking of the self-effort of natural man. He in himself wants to get the glory for doing this. And God does not want man to have the glory. It deserves all the glory. In Genesis 11, and I'm going to read from the first verse. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. This slime is, written in here, it's red and very explosive. And anything made by man is this way. The old creation is very explosive. And they said, go to, let us, and notice the let us build us a city and a tower. This is a religiousness now they're talking about now. Whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. God had already given them a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Now, here's the Trinity talking. They say, Go to, let us go down, the Trinity, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. This is when the Lord scattered the nations. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the whole earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. And Babel means confusion. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon all the face of the earth. Man-made religion. Still, there's Cain. See, it goes clear back there. All right, that speaks of the spirit. Man wants to worship God in his own spirit, and he cannot do it because the natural man is at enmity with God. We have an old creation in us that is at enmity with God. It's only the new man in us who is willing to yield to the Lord, and that's Christ in us. All right, the second thing now is in the fourth verse here of Isaiah 65. This is what these people did to provoke the Lord to anger and to my face. He said, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments. This is the next thing. This speaks the soul of man. Remain among the graves or the tombs, and they lodge in the monuments or the darkest places. They begin to practice having intercourse with the dead. Have you heard of this? Spiritualism. The dead, there was the witch of Endor back in the book of Samuel, who Saul called up and wanted to talk to Samuel when Samuel was dead. So it's nothing new. Man's still trying to do this today. But this next one is the one we want to dwell on, and the Lord really opened this up to my heart. This is precious. The next one, the third one, is in the fourth verse, which eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. This is the worst of all, and this refers to the body. Now, we know Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 that we're not our own, that we're bought with a price. And then he says, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, he says, Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? This body is the Lord's. We're not our own. First, let's talk about this swine. This I want to read in Leviticus 11. This is something I got in today that just really blessed my heart. Leviticus 11 and the 7th verse. We'll start there first. In this chapter, the Lord told the nation Israel what to eat and what they couldn't eat, shouldn't eat. But all of these have a spiritual significance for us, and they did for Israel too. But we'll read these. There's two verses we want to read, and then we'll get into it. Chapter 11 and the 7th verse. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, the 8th verse, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. Now keep that in mind. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. Now these truths are very important for us. Deuteronomy 14 and the 8th verse. Again, it's telling us really the same thing, but it's we need to read it. And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Now, first of all, we find out that the swine is unclean. And we know that what man eats, that he becomes. He eats, what he eats becomes part of his body, doesn't it? John 6:57 says, He that eateth me, even he shall live by me. His life is assimilated into whatever we eat is assimilated into our body. And as we eat of him, he is assimilated into our body. we eat of him, he becomes our life. We become like him. The distinctions among these animals are not by accident, but they convey to us wonderful, significant illustrations of spiritual truth. And that's what the Lord wants us to have. Our association is of vital importance to our spiritual walk and our growth. This is what our body now is what we're talking about. In Leviticus 11:7 there in the Deuteronomy, we read that the swine is unclean. God had separated Israel from an unclean world. And hasn't he separated us? Let's read John 17. Who is the God of this world? Satan. Yes, he is the God of this world. And we're not of this world. John 17. Julie, if you have any questions, just ask. We just trust you understand this, and I believe you can. John 17 and verse 14 through 16. I have given them thy word, that is his people, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And he does this. He doesn't say he'd keep us from trouble, but he'd keep us from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now we have a life in us that is born from above. It's Christ. His divine nature is put right in here. It's come down from above, and it wants to go home. It wants to go back. And that's who we are now. Christ is in us, and this life is not of this world. So if a man feeds on swine's flesh, now we're talking spiritually, it is to satisfy fleshly, sinful appetites of the natural. He feeds on something that will satisfy the flesh. He assimilates it, and it suits him. It suits the flesh. The swine is unclean. The new man in us is not unclean. It is clean. Now, why was swine's flesh not to be eaten? We read there that though he divided the hoof, and he was cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. Now, the cud, this is a wonderful truth, and I love it. The hoof here speaks of our walk, and dividing the hoof gives stability and balance to rest on the Word of God. And this is what the Lord teaches us to do. We do not get bogged down in the world, in the mud, and in the things of this earth, earthly things. Thank the Lord. And let's read 2 Timothy. This is a wonderful scripture regarding dividing the hoof. This word is life, isn't it? I love that in John 6. I think it's John 6, 63. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So what we're studying tonight is life to the new man within us. 2 Timothy 2:15, wonderful admonitions. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's a wonderful scripture. Not to man, but to God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Dividing, there's a cloven foot. The Old Testament and the New Testament are become one. And as we learn them both, it makes us sure-footed. We know they are one. The old is revealed in the new. And as we learn them both, we have a sure foundation. And we stand. And it's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. In Ephesians, let's go over there and read this one. These scriptures are wonderful. Ephesians 4:17. Wonderful to learn the word, isn't it? 4:17. Well, we'll just read this. We could go back and read some more, but we'll just read this one. He says, "And this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness or hardness of their heart. We wonder why people today don't turn to the Lord. This is why. Because their understanding is darkened and they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They're blind, and we need to pray for them. All right? But the swine is unclean because he cheweth not the cud. This is the reason. He doesn't let the word of God separate him. In 1 Thessalonians, let's go over there. We eat of the word of God for a reason. And this is to enable us to grow up in the Lord and to allow the Lord to separate us from things of this world. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter and the 11th and 12th verse. You know, we've known many saints that have come into the meetings here even, and they never learned to study the word. But this is a wonderful scripture on this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. That's a wonderful thing there. To learn to study to be quiet. As we learn to study, and it takes quietness to study the Word of God, because there's a lot of distractions. And then over in 2 Timothy 2, in the 7th verse, Paul wrote this little book right before the Lord took him home, and he wrote it to his son Timothy, his spiritual son. And this is what the Lord wants us. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. This word consider means to exercise the mind in spiritual things. And the Lord will give you spiritual understanding as we exercise our mind in spiritual things, in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I want to read some of the thoughts the Lord gave us today as we were studying. It is found that in chewing the cud, a large portion of poisonous properties of noxious plants are eaten. And as they chew the cud, these noxious plants, the properties from them, pass off by the glands. This is why the Word of God has to be ruminated. We have to meditate in it day and night, and we'll get to that one in a minute. Animals who do not chew the cud convert their food less perfectly, and their flesh is unclean. This is why the swine is unclean, as far as God is concerned. Now, we know in the book of Acts when God let that sheet down to Peter and all the creatures were on there, he says what God has called clean. What does it say there? Let no man call common. We know today that we're not under the Jewish economy, that all things can be eaten by us as we trust the Lord. The Lord sanctifies the food. All right. Having a herd of cattle, and as most of us know of country life, and you see the animals, and in the spring of the year, when the grass is green and there's so much of it, they just saunter around and eat in one little area. And then they will lay down and they'll let that which they've eaten digest or ruminate. It goes into the upper stomach, but that has to come back up and they have to chew the cud. And that's when you see a cow munching, I'll call it. He's chewing that, and that's when the poisonous properties of what he eats is taken off into the glands. And then it goes into the other stomachs. There's three stomachs to a cow. We wrote an article on this once. And then that which goes down in is digested. And this is the way with us. When we meditate in the Word, and let's go over to Psalms 111, the first psalm. This is a wonderful psalm, and I was thinking of this along with this meditation. The first psalm, this is an expression of what it means to that of a clean animal. And we know the man here that he's talking about is the new man. And if we're saved, each of us, have this new man within us. Now, we could have gotten into this psalm and just been stayed here, but we're just going to read it. Blessed, and this word blessed is in the plural. Blessed is the man, the new man, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now notice the stages here. This man, new man, does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, of the world, nor does he stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't walk there. He doesn't become one of them. These are ungodly, they're sinners, nor does he sit in the way of the scornful. You notice? If a saint begins to do this, he'll begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He will then become very comfortable feeling, well, this is okay. And he'll begin to stand in the way of sinners. Well, I can do this. And then the next thing he does, a believer, he will sit down and he'll get very comfortable among the ungodly. That isn't the new man. That's the old man that's doing that. But this man doesn't do that. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor doth he sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, or the word of the Lord. Here's the chewing of the cud. And in his word doth he meditate day and night. Did you ever have the Lord wake you up in the middle of the night and give you a scripture? Or just, I know there's been so many times in my experience that the Lord has woken me up and he'll say, I love you, Faith. That to me is precious. And then he'll give you a scripture or a song right in the middle of the night. Let him do it. He'll put you back to sleep. But let him talk to you in the quiet of the night. Of course, we who live in the country, we have no problem with that, except for the coyotes. But it's a wonderful thing. There's so many voices out in this world, and there's so much noise that we have to get quiet before the Lord for us to hear his voice. And if we do this, if we ruminate in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit bring his word to our hearts. Notice this third verse. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now this isn't speaking of material prosperity, but this is speaking of spiritual prosperity. Now as we do this, like this man here does, it will no longer be I, but it's Christ that is living within me. And as Christ lives in us, he begins to separate us from the ungodly, from the sinners, and from the scornful. Praise the Lord. Now we know that these verses in chapter 65 of Isaiah were written concerning Israel, who claimed Abraham as their father. Yet look at where they are. They're out here in the groves worshiping idols. Now, an idol can be anything material. They were externally religious, just like the Pharisee. Let's go over to Matthew 18:11. And when I read this about these Pharisees who talked to Jesus the way they did, how could Jesus stand there? But he did. In Matthew 18:11, and I hope I have the right scripture. I don't think I do. Well, we'll find this. It's the one where the Pharisee stands there and he says, "I'm not like that publican." Maybe it's on down. Maybe I didn't even get the right book because I was studying several of them. When the Pharisee said, "Thank God, I'm not like this publican." We won't try and find it right now, but you can look it up. Luke 8. This is what the condition that Israel was in. They bragged in the fact that they were God's people, and that they were outwardly, that they were very religious, very spiritual, and they really were not. They separated themselves, and this scripture here in Isaiah 65, it really explains what this Pharisee was doing. In Isaiah 65:5, which say, "Stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou." See, this is what the religious world, what religious people do. When it, in fact, this Pharisee was a leper. He was unclean. He ate swine's flesh. He did not accept Jesus Christ. He stood there, oh my, sad the way he stood there. He's a leper. And I want to talk a minute about this broth in this fourth chapter. This, all of this was so good today. "Which eats swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels." This broth symbolizes what is highly esteemed among men, but is an abomination in the sight of God. And let's go back to Luke and read Luke 16, and I hopefully had the scripture right this time. When you begin to study, and there's so many scriptures you look up, it's easy to get the wrong scripture. But let's look at Luke 16:15. Let's start with the 13th verse. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold," notice that word, "to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." That's Jesus talking. "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him." This means that they sneered at him. This one that made them, this one that was in eternity past, they stood there and sneered at this one who was going to give his life for them. "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts." He did too, because he was God manifested in the flesh. "For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." There we have the broth. Something that's highly esteemed among men is an abomination before the Lord. All right, these Pharisees felt they were a little better than everybody else. Let's go over to Revelation, the second chapter. We find something here that God hates. In Revelation 2 and the sixth verse, and we'll read another verse there in a little bit. Revelation 2 and the sixth verse. This is written to the church of Ephesus. And we're not going to read it all. These are these seven little letters, little epistles that were written to the representative of the church during this age. But in the sixth verse, he says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Now, the Pharisees were Nicolaitans. It means clergy over laity. They hold themselves up above the people. Well, over in the Church of Pergamos, you're going down to the 12th verse, it's where it begins, the Church of Pergamos. Notice what they're doing. And Pergamos means much married. The church, there's a lot of the churches that are married to the world. They're trying to improve the world. They're trying to get along with the world. And we cannot do it because we're not of the world. In 2:16, notice, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against thee." Well, 15th verse, what I want. "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Now, God hates this. Yes, God hates. He loves, but he also hates. And then we read that he asked them to repent, or he would come unto them quickly, and he's going to fight against them with the sword of his mouth. So the Laodicean, and then in 3:14, we have here, they had the broth of abominable things. Let's read this. Laodicea 3:14. And I want to bring in before we read this, that this broth was made of swine's flesh, and it was poured over fragments of bread, and it was offered in sacrifice to their idols, this offering would be acceptable to the idols. Let's read this in the Laodicean, just a little bit of this. It's quite an account here, but the 15th verse, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. This is the condition of the church now in the days that we're living. I would thou wert hot or cold, cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and am needed nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And in the 20th verse, we read there that he is standing at the door and he's knocking. He wants to come in to this church, but they don't let him in. The Lord is not let in to a lot of so-called churches today. They have their own agenda, and they're going to carry it out regardless of what the word says. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And this is true. Man thinks he knows the right way, but this is the right way that God has given us here. Now, one thing I noticed, too, in this, in Isaiah, there's so much. As the more I looked at this, the more the Holy Spirit began to show me more things out of it. In the latter part of this fourth verse, the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Vessels speaking of the body. They ate of it, of this, and it became part of them. And that's why when they're in Laodicea, he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. It's something I cannot have. It's things that are unclean. He wasn't going to partake of something that wasn't holy. In Isaiah 66, and there's two verses, we'll be getting into this a little later, but I want to read these two verses. Isaiah 66, in the third verse, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man, and he that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen, notice the wording, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. This is what religious man is doing today. They've chosen their own way. In the 17th verse, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. We'll be getting into that a little later. All right, in closing, I want us to turn over to the book of Daniel, just briefly. As we have read that Israel was not to eat of the swine, it was a very unclean animal. In Daniel 8, and all of this speaks of the future, the time Daniel saw in the days that we're living in. But in this 8th chapter, and I want to read two verses, and then we'll just comment. Daniel had this vision, and in the 5th verse he says, And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Now this is talking, if you recall the image of Daniel, this is Alexander the Great, who reigned over Greece. This is he-goat, is representative of him. And then I want to read the 21st verse here. This is where the Lord explains who he is. And the rough goat is the king of Greece, Grecia, as he has here. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, this is going to be the time of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And they're going to put an image of the Antichrist in the holy place. But during the time of Alexander the Great, there was a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes who came from Syria. And this is all in history. And he was a very cruel man. And he was cruel to the Jews. And this is what's going on now over in the nation Israel. He attempted to force heathen worship upon the Jews. And if they resisted, he killed them. And history tells us that he profaned the temple there in Jerusalem by offering a sow upon the altar, a burnt offering. And it put an end to all the Jewish worship because they could not. It defiled the temple. Well, that's what is going to happen again when the image of the Antichrist is put in that holy place. It's going to defile that temple that they're going to have there, and God is going to have to cleanse it. That's why the book of Revelation is there. That's why all the judgments are going to come upon the nation Israel. It's because of the defiling of the land. There was the people that are there today in unbelief. Israel today is even in unbelief. There's just a little remnant of that nation that has turned to the Lord. But the majority of the nation of Israel is going to be slain by the Lord when God gets them in a corner. And he's going to do it, but he's going, and we're going to see this as we get on down in this chapter here in Isaiah, and we've seen it before in this book, but this, he's going to have a little remnant that is going to be preserved. This, his covenant with his nation is not going to be broken. He is going to have a remnant, and thank the Lord, they will become the bride of Jehovah, an earthly people, but they will be the bride of Jehovah. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a marvelous book to me, and I trust you, dear ones, are getting out of this what the Holy Spirit. It's rich. I thought in studying this, studying it yesterday and the day before a little, and I thought, Lord, you've written all of this here for us to learn, for us to understand this. Why have you written this here? And then that scripture came to me there in 1 Corinthians 10. It was for us, that we could understand that what Israel went through is for us to learn by, for us not to become like this nation Israel, hard and stiff-necked to the Lord, not reject him. When Jesus came down, he came into his own, and his own received him not. They didn't want him. They didn't want somebody to come and become a little lamb and to die. They wanted a king. They wanted somebody to reign over them. Well, they're